Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Great to be in the house tonight with you. It's so good to be a born again. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that I go to a church that knows what born again means. I'm glad I'm not in a church, or I'm not pastoring a church that doesn't know about being born again. Because if I did pastor a church that didn't know about being born again before the service was over, you would know about being born again. But thank God God's given us His grace. Amen. Let's go in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1 tonight. Colossians, the first chapter. And I want to talk about tonight, just for a little while here, about us being in a kingdom of love. That, you know, let's go here, and I want, you'll see this out of the Word. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has, and I'm reading out of the New King James here, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, praise the Lord. December 20th, 1981, I got qualified. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I qualify. That's the greatest thing I ever qualified for. Amen. You know, before too long, I'll qualify for some government benefits. Pastor, yeah, I want my money back. But, you know, I tell you what, I have already qualified for benefits. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Amen. So, you know, if the government doesn't come through, I've already got benefits. Amen. Oh, Pastor, don't say anything like that. If I lost my Social Security check, what? I'd lose everything. No, you wouldn't lose God. No. Amen. Amen. And He's your supply. I can already feel air being sucked out of the room from people just watching this. It's like, don't even talk that way. What are you doing? Listen, the government's not our source. God is our source. Hallelujah. Unless you learn that lesson, you're not a strong disciple yet. That's one of the first things Jesus taught His disciples on the Sermon on the Mount. Was He took them up and He taught them not to, you know, that to seek first the kingdom and everything would be added to them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So He's qualified us, verse 13, and He has delivered us. Hallelujah. Amen. We're qualified and we're delivered. Yes. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, and He's conveyed, I don't really care for that word, it's okay, but I like the word translated. Yes. He's translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. In other words, you know, He's put us in a kingdom of love. Amen. His Son was His love gift to us. Yes, right. Hallelujah. Yes. And so, we've come into a kingdom, and it's a kingdom of love. Praise God. You know, when I got born again, you know, I didn't know all these things. Of course, I'm just new. I mean, I just came out of my lifestyle, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of His dear Son, or the Son of His love. As the King James uses dear Son, but literally it means the Son of His love. And so I just came out of that kingdom of darkness into this kingdom. I didn't get, you know, I wrote about this to our partners. You know, I said, I didn't get religion. Amen. Amen. And I didn't just get forgiven. Man, I got translated. Yeah. I got delivered from the power of darkness and put into the kingdom of love. Amen. Now, you know, one, I don't know why I like these stories, you know. But I like these stories. I've seen a few stories, stories where maybe somebody finds an abandoned, abused dog, you know, and they get it maybe off the side of the road or rescue it from someplace, and then they bring it into their house. Amen. and begin to give it a home. And there are scriptures for having animals in your house. The dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. Now, Phyllis did tell me one day when I said that, I said, see, that woman that said that was the woman, the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter had a demon. Phyllis said, well, she had a devil in her house too. Okay. But there is scripture for having a dog in your house, right? Amen. Yes. But I don't know, I'm an animal guy, even though I don't have any animals at the time. But the reason I don't is because it just wouldn't be fair because of not being home enough.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It just wouldn't be fair. And but if I, was one of these 9-to-5 guys and I came home and, and did my routine every day, then I probably would have, if Phyllis would let me. And I can always talk her into anything. I can talk. I've had two in the house already.
They didn't stay.
I gave one away, but it got a really good home. But that was a mistake. I should have kept it. The other one, I'm glad it's gone. It just wasn't my type of dog. But anyway, let's get back to the message. I like those stories because I don't like to see animals suffer. I don't like to see them hurt. I don't like to see them hungry. I don't like to see them suffer. I don't like to see them have anything wrong with them. I want to fix that. And so it's so cool to see a dog that, man, he's been abused. He's not had a good home. And then somebody takes him and they love him, Man, he came into a different kingdom.
Come on.
Amen. He came into a different kingdom. I saw this one show years ago, a lot of years ago, but it's one of these animal shows. And, this dog had been abused, and it was afraid of people, and you couldn't hardly get near it. But man, by the time it went to live with these people and they got done with it, man, it's jumping and playing and running and having fun with the other dogs, And I thought, now that's cool. That's cool. And I mean, that's kind of like we were. We were abused, abandoned dogs. I'm telling you, Satan will abuse you, and then he'll abandon you. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus rescued us. He went to the Humane Society. I just saw yesterday, they have somebody just brought them 58 cats. They need your help. Go get about 20. Anyway, why don't you, Pastor? I've got an excuse. I'm not home. I always pull that one out. I'm not home. But, what happened to us was when we got born again, we came out of an abusive kingdom. And we got put into a kingdom of love. See, God gave us His Son of love. His Son of love. And he put us in another kingdom, and in this kingdom, it's just, man, it's a family of love. Do you remember Apostle John? I really like this. In the Gospels of John, several places, he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Like Jesus didn't have any other disciples? Now, I belong to a preacher's organization. It's called Righteous Preachers Network. We call it RPN for short. There's probably 500 plus preachers in RPN. Now, what if I wrote those preachers a letter, all of them, and I wrote them a letter, and on the bottom, I signed it, because, Dr. Barclay is the president. He's over RPN. What if I wrote those preachers a letter, all of them, and sent it to them, and I signed it, Pastor Mark Pearl, the RPM member whom Dr. Barclay loves? That's what John did. He wrote a letter to the whole world, said, I'm the disciple that Jesus loves. But here's what I think. Now, you know, either John had a revelation or he was pretty arrogant to think he's the only one that Jesus loved. I believe he had a revelation. And the reason why I believe he had a revelation, because when you read his writings in 1 John and 2 John and 3 John and the Gospel of John, you see him talk about love a lot. He's the one that told us God is love. God doesn't have love. He is love. Now, he had a revelation there. So, to him, he knew that when he met Jesus, he had come into a kingdom. He had come to a kingdom of love. He knew the Master loved him. He knew Jesus loved him. We have to know God loves us. We have to know this kingdom we're in. Praise God, it's a good kingdom. Why anybody would ever want to leave it, I don't understand. I've never, 40 years now, I've never been tempted to go anywhere else. I've never had a thought about leaving this kingdom. Not in 40 years. I've thought about leaving some things. I've thought about leaving different places I was at in ministry. But I never thought about leaving the kingdom. Amen. Amen. I've thought about different things, but never have I thought about leaving the kingdom. Why? Man, this is the best place I've been. Are you with me now?
Amen.
I mean, the food doesn't get any better than right here. You know, I remember when I was a teenager and got my later teens, 18, 19, some of the guys, you know, they would pull their resources and live together in an apartment, you know. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. There's no way I'm doing that. I'm not living with any of you slobs. Number one, you won't do my laundry. Number two, you sure can't cook like my mama can. I'm staying right here. You understand? And so, and I did till I got married. What if you hadn't got married? I'd still be there. Praise the Lord. And my mama would be happy about it. Because she likes to cook for people. And so, why? Because, man, it's good here. I said, it's good here. I mean, this is a good place to be. I'm telling you, man, and the kingdom's a good place to be.
Right.
It's a kingdom of love, praise God.
Amen.
It's a kingdom of blessing. It's a kingdom where God showers His goodness on you.
That's right.
Glory be to God. You know, the Bible tells us the only way that the devil can keep people out of this kingdom is he has to blind their minds. Because if they see it, he's lost them. He has lost them. Amen. I have, over the years, I've heard or read testimonies about people that have, well, we call them near-death experiences, but some of them actually died and came back. And so they would get over into the glory realm. You know, listen. How many know we're already in the kingdom of God right now, right? It's already inside of us, the Bible says. But there is more to it we've yet to experience. Right?
Amen.
There's the glory realm. There's heaven.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Where, you know, this earth, man, it's got a curse on it. And it's filled with all kinds of damnable things. But you get up there where God's at and none of that's there. And so I've seen, read, heard about people that have had near-death experience before or actually died. And one of the things that some of them say is it says, where I went, I was just enveloped in love. Just enveloped in love. Well, God is love. Then you'll hear people say, I was enveloped in light. Well, God is light. Then you hear people say, I was enveloped in life. Man, I never felt so alive in my life. Well, God is life. And brother, in this kingdom, I got to tell you, this is the most loved I've ever felt. This is the most life I've ever had. And it's the most light I've ever had. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so we have to understand that when we got saved, we didn't just get forgiven. Thank God we got forgiven. But brother and sister, we got translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Woo, glory to God. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. To know I'm in a place of protection. Does that mean that bad things never come into my life? Well, of course, I live just like you do. We live in a cursed, fallen world. There are things that happen, but we're in a kingdom, praise God, where we have victory. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. When things do happen, what do? We go to our kingdom provision. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, if you've ever gone to foreign countries, you know, I forget what country I was in. Might have been Honduras. And the missionary took me to see the U.S. Embassy. You know, the thing about it is, at the embassy, it's like being back in the States. You know, a lot of things, you know, because when you go with a missionary, you go on a mission trip, you know, there's things that sometimes missionaries want you to bring that they can't get there, you know. I mean, when I went to Africa, man, I took candy, cookies, you know, a lot of health food stuff, you know, and crackers and things, you know, because they can't get it there. And so they, you know, I had one whole suitcase. Just one of my suitcases was just full of junk food that I took, you know. Now, you know, they weren't going to eat it all at once. But they probably last them a long time. But the thing was, they can't get it. So, you know, you're just courteous. You say, hey, what do you want me to bring? One time, one of the missionaries wanted to bring car parts. That was a trip. Yeah. I did it, though. Yeah. Tie rods or something, you know. So, you know. But, you know, you get over in the embassy, and they don't live like the people of that country. They live like they're back here in the United States, see? And see, you and I are ambassadors for Christ. We're in a negative, we're in a defeated, we're in a cursed, blasphemous world. But thank God, there's something. We're surrounded by a compound, praise God. There's a kingdom around us. It's the kingdom of His love, praise God, that we walk in, hallelujah. And we can be free from anything out there. Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. Now look at Luke chapter 12. Go there. Luke chapter 12. Thank God we're in a kingdom. I said we're in a kingdom. Glory to God. Now, and you know, and even in our country, even in the United States, as much as we've got going on that's negative, we still got a lot that's going on that's good. And so you can't just focus on all the negative stuff, but we got a lot going on that's good. I tell you, man, I've never been to, you know, I haven't been all over the world, and you know, I've been a few places, and I've never been in a place I like better than here. And if I had, I'd tell you, you know. Now, I've been places where, you know, some of the food was pretty good. You know, some of the countries, some of their cooking's really good, but the living condition's just not the same. Now, some of it, the food's not very good, but some places, you go to the right places, it's got really good food, and I like it. But, you know, I just remember my first mission trip. All I could think about all the way home was a cheeseburger. I mean, that Jimmy Buffett song, Cheeseburger in Paradise, you know, Or a pizza, man. And I remember one of the first things when I was coming home, when I was driving home, not from the whole mission trip, driving home from the airport, I remember just thinking, man, everything is so clean here. Everything looks so nice and clean and kept. So we have it good, but man, we don't have it anything like what heaven's going to be like. Amen. Hallelujah. I was listening to Greg's podcast today as I was walking today, and I think it's a fairly new one. When it comes to the podcast thing, just I still don't have a real handle on that, but I'm not electronically challenged. It's just not my forte. So I think this was a fairly new one. It was called A Postcard from Heaven. Is that a newer one? And he talked about what heaven is like. Now that ought to whet your, if you're an unbeliever, that ought to whet your appetite to go to that place when you die. Because you're going somewhere.
That's right. Yeah.
You're not going to stay in the grave.
Nope.
Your body is till the resurrection. But you're not going to stay there. You're going somewhere. And you might as well go to the, someplace good.
That's right.
Glory to God. We don't even know the half of it yet.
Come on now.
I mean, he was talking about, you know, the gates of pearl. Can you imagine that? The streets of gold and the things that are in heaven. And I tell you what, folks, listen, sometimes we get so earthly minded, even as Christians, that we forget there's an eternity, that there's heaven, there's rewards. And we got to remember to live hard for Jesus. Amen. To be faithful to Jesus, to be serving Jesus, to be in His house, to be at His altars, to worship Him. Amen. My goodness, if God went through what He went through to get us His Word, how many know we ought to read it?
Yes,
I mean, this costs people's lives to get us that Word. That's God's covenant, and it costs Jesus' life to get us that Word. That's His covenant in His blood. Now, I don't know whether you know this or not, but you know, listen, I understand if you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you can shout you made it. But there's still, which we don't preach about this much, but there still is a giving an account of how you lived your life. It's not going to determine whether you're saved or not. If you get the judgment seat of Christ, you can rejoice you made it. But we got some preachers right now that seem to forget some verses in the Bible that tell us we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. And so, I'm not judging you. I need to work on me. But I want to be, if God gave me His Word, man, I'm going to read it. If He said, come to the throne boldly, I'm coming. If He said, assemble yourselves together in the house, I'm going to be here.
Amen.
I'm not going to use that dumb thing where people say, I can be just as good a Christian at home as I can at church. Well, you're deceived or you're lying, one or the other, because God said you can't. He said you need to be here. So, you know, you can tell me all that you want to, but you better tell Him, not me. I didn't write the book.
Come on.
Right? If you're trying to convince me, why are you trying to convince me for? Don't convince me. I didn't write it. I didn't say it. I just read it.
That's right.
Right? Father said it, not me. So you better go talk to Him about it. Amen. Now, did you find Luke? All right. Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 29. Jesus, and He's talking to His disciples, He said, and do not seek what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither have an anxious mind. An anxious mind. And the King James says a doubtful mind, full of doubt, full of doubt. Or literally it means to be in suspense. Suspense. You know what suspense is? You don't know how it's going to turn out. You ever watch a suspense movie? You don't know how it's going to turn out. You got to watch it till the end. Amen. Sometimes we watch old movies. Phyllis and I, we like old movies. We don't like new movies because they're filthy. And so we don't watch them. I don't pollute myself. Amen. And so, you know, I got borders. I got boundaries. You know, I'm not watching adultery. I'm not watching people without any clothes on. Why? Because the Bible said don't look on someone's nakedness. Hello. Well, that's just old-fashioned. No, it is. It's old-fashioned as God's Word, which is still in fashion, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. And so, you know, I don't do these things. I don't watch people commit adultery. I don't even know who, you know, it's like I like to play Jeopardy. There's nothing wrong with Jeopardy, is there? He does answer questions. Y'all looked at me like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Pastor would play Jeopardy. What? Well, I like Jeopardy, you know. So, well, how do you play Jeopardy? I've never seen you on the show. Well, Alexa has a little thing you can and say, Alexa, let's play Jeopardy. How many know what Alexa is? It's not my granddaughter. And I'll say, Alexa, let's play Jeopardy. So ask me those questions. Now, if it's going to be about an actor, which there's not many of those on there, but if it's going to be about an actor, you better ask me about an old one. I know who Cary Grant is. I know what movies he played. I know who John Wayne is. But I don't know some of the new ones because I don't watch their movies.
Right.
Because one thing, they're filthy and dirty. Another thing, they're not even funny. Help me out, somebody. I had to listen to the one. I was in one of these, I was in some place getting something done, maybe the vehicle or something, I don't remember. But they had the TV on. I was in one the other day, and they had the TV on. They had one of these raunchy talk show things on there. I didn't ask. I just turned the station. I found the remote and said, we're going to watch something else. Amen. And so, I was in one of these places like that, and they had one of these modern sitcoms on, and it's a funny one. And I thought, there isn't anything funny on it. You have to use a laugh box to make you think everything you say is funny. Watch Andy Griffith. You don't even need a laugh box. It's just funny.
Amen. That's good.
And we've seen it 200 times. It's still funny. And it's clean.
That's right.
You don't have to be dirty to be funny.
That's right. But
that's just the devil. He perverts people's minds. But anyway, what was I talking about before I got off on all that? All right, we were talking about, don't be of a doubtful mind. Don't be of an anxious mind. See, in this kingdom, you don't have to live with an anxious mind. But because you're in a kingdom of love. I don't ever remember as a kid, sitting around as a 5-year-old or a 4-year-old, all concerned about whether the light bill was going to get paid, whether we were going to have anything to eat. I mean, if you come downstairs and your 4-year-old's got the, Wall Street Journal, and they got this worried look on their face and say, oh my gosh, stocks are going down. They know too much. Jesus said, become like children. Just enter into this kingdom and trust your Father is going to provide everything for you. Because He said He would. So we don't just walk around this kingdom with a worried mind. If we do, we don't understand how this kingdom works. We're in a kingdom of love. Everything is provided for us. It's all taken care of. Where we can just walk and enjoy life. Hallelujah. It works when you get a revelation of His love. Amen. Now let's read on. All right. In verse 30, He says, For all these things, The nations of the world they seek after. Your Father knows that you have need of these things. But notice this, but seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So see, we're to seek this kingdom of love, and everything's added to us. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
It's His pleasure to do it. I mean, if it's His pleasure to do it, it means He wants to do it. So he wants to give us everything that we need. What's the kingdom? The kingdom's everything that we could possibly need.
Mm-hmm.
See, Peter said it this way. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything you need naturally and everything you need spiritually.
Right.
What you just got to learn just to enjoy. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Glory be to God. Now, one of the things, let's go to Ephesians. Are you getting something tonight?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ephesians chapter 1. Go there, Ephesians 1. We're talking about a kingdom of love, Ephesians chapter 1. Shake yourself a little bit. I know maybe you worked hard today, I understand. Shake yourself. You're going to get some good things if you will. Ephesians chapter 1. God's Word's good.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has. Everybody say has.
Yes.
It's a done deal, isn't it? He's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Well, how many more is there? He's already given us all of them. Is there any more? He's given to all of them to us. In Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted. Notice, in the beloved, or the beloved. So we're accepted in the one, Jesus, who's beloved. And we're beloved. But I wanted you to see that He, notice it says, that he, let me find it here. Verse five, having predestinated us to adoption. How many know God's adopted us? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let me explain this to you because, you know, I used to read adoption and then I think, well, wait a minute. No, we're born again. We're born into the family. And so I did some study on this one time, did some digging out. And here's what I found out, that when the Bible uses the word adoption here in the New Testament, it's speaking of our sonship or our family privileges. In other words, well, let me read this to you. How many ever heard of W.E. Vine? I mean, I've read his commentary on words for years and years and years. And it's he's like a Greek scholar, and he was spirit-filled. So he's a born-again, spirit-filled man. He's probably in heaven now, I'm sure. But this was his comment on adoption. He said this about adoption, the word adoption in the Bible. He said, God does not adopt believers as children. They are begotten as such by His Holy Spirit through faith. Adoption is a term involving the dignity of the relationship of believers as sons. It's not a putting into the family by spiritual birth, but a, now listen, this is important, but a putting into the position of sons. Well, how many know sons have an inheritance? So what adoption is, what is speaking to us is the fact that God took us in to His family and gave us everything.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everything we could possibly ever need, God gave it to us. And that's adoption. It's not like God, you know, well, just in the natural. You know, if you adopt some children, you know, how many know they get the same rights and privileges as the ones that were born of you?
Right.
You don't just say, well, you know, you can have this, but you're adopted. You can't have that.
Right. Come on now.
You don't do that. Mm-hmm. It's just they're the same. You treat them the same.
That's right.
See, we've got grandkids that were born. We got grandkids that are adopted. They're all the same to us.
Amen.
No difference.
Right.
Man, they're in the family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All the stuff in the fridge belongs to them. And don't you think they don't take advantage of it? Sometimes we have to remind them that if you're going to open it, drink it. Don't just drink one drink and set it down and let it go. Amen. El Shaddai's paying for that, and so is Jehovah Mama. Somebody's paying for this. So if you want privileges, fine, but make sure you really want them. Amen. And so, praise God. How many parents can say amen to that?
Amen.
So but my point is this, when the Bible says, and there's different places it says that we've received adoption, we've been adopted. What is it saying? It's just what Vines is saying, and there's some other things that I've studied about this over the years. I've actually taught on this. But what Vines is saying, basically, is what it's saying to us is it's letting us know adoption means we've been placed to have full sonship or family privileges. We've been set in that family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so, you know, when you think about it, because people, I know when my sister was young, my older brother used to tell her she was adopted. And for some reason, that bothered her. And she would cry, I'm adopted. But listen, here's the thing. If you're adopted, that means you were chosen. Somebody picked you out. There's some kids were just a mistake. We're glad you're here, but you weren't planned. And if you'd asked to have been born, the answer would have been no.
Amen.
But adopted means they sought you out. Come on. Somebody wanted you. They looked you over and said, yeah, I'll still take you. That's special. Right? I mean, that to me, that's a cut above. So none of this, I'm adopted. You ought to shout, I'm adopted. They just got stuck with you. They really wanted me. I don't know about you. So if you're watching this and you're adopted, you ought to shout that somebody loves you.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody loves you.
Amen.
God loved us. I mean, think about how filthy and dirty and nasty and ugly and ornery we were. Oh, I lived a good life before I got saved. Yeah, right. You still were filthy, dirty, nasty, and ornery spiritually. And God chose us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says if He gave His life for us while we're sinners, how much more now that we're His children will He do for us? I'm telling you guys, we are in a great kingdom. It's a kingdom of love. Hallelujah. And we need to learn to have some faith in that. Amen. And believe that. Now, I tell you what, let's go to Hebrews. I want to look at two more scriptures. We got a little time here, and I'll be fast about this. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. And I want to read scripture there in Hebrews chapter 1. Because I think it's important that we understand some things about this kingdom. About any kingdom, for that matter. There's just certain things you need to understand if you're going to live in the kingdom. If you're going to live in the United States, I mean, you need to know the you need to know the laws. You need to know the rules. You know what I'm saying? You drive on the right side of the road here. See? Now, there's places that you go, you drive on the left side of the road. You don't want to get that confused because it does make a difference. See? And, you know, you go over to certain countries and the laws are different. And you better have a little bit of knowledge about that. Amen. You know, customs are different. Things are different. So, you know, one of the things you go on a mission field, one of the things that they'll do if they're a good missionary is they will brush you up on some of the things that you need to know ahead of time so you don't just go over and plow and act like, you know, you're living in the United States because you're not now. You're in a different kingdom. And so you have to change a little bit, do things a little different. Some things that aren't offensive here are offensive over there. Amen. And so we're in a kingdom. And you know, when we've got a lot of people trying to tell us how we can live in this kingdom that have never read the founding document. Amen. See, because there's some things that we need to know. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, but to the Son He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. How many know what a scepter is? You know what a scepter is? A scepter is like we might call it a staff. It's not really a staff, but it was something the king held, and it was a symbol of his authority. You know, in some of the Babylon and some of the Mesopotamia and some of the kings over there, if you came into their court and you were uninvited, you could die for that. See, that's why you see, you know, Mordecai trying to get Esther to go into the king. And she's like, man, I can't just walk in there, you know. And she's like, didn't want to do it. And Mordecai said, hey, don't think you're going to survive. You're a Jew. They're going to kill all the Jews. You're going to die. And she said, well, you pray for me. You fast and pray. And if I perish, I perish. Because she knew just walking in there would be death. And so she took her life in her own hands, walked in there. The only way you lived is if the king pointed the scepter at you, which signifies his authority and his acceptance, and you lived. And so, you know, evidently he pointed the scepter and she lived. But that scepter was a sign or an emblem of the king's authority. And so the Bible says, verse 8, that His scepter is a scepter of righteousness. His kingdom is a righteous kingdom. You have, verse 9, loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. So, His kingdom, listen now, His kingdom has laws. Amen. Come on, you're not quitting on me yet, are you?
No.
All right, you're getting quiet. But, you know, I don't know, there's been a rash of defections from the kingdom of God the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years. A rash of them. I read with one, modern day musician. He left the kingdom. He left the kingdom. And he said, the reason I'm leaving is because there's too many rules here. See, you don't really know the kingdom. You don't really know our king. You can't say that. You don't know God. I don't care. Just because the body of Christ put you forth because you had talent doesn't mean you should have been put forth. You should grow up and know some things. Amen. I remember one of my musicians. Well, he was my day. You know, I won't mention him. But anyway, he was a very popular musician in the 60s and the 70s and in the 80s and all. But he got, early 80s, he got somewhere in the 80s, he got born again. I mean, he truly got born again. And the first thing the church did was start having him speak. Now, why? He's a babe in the Lord. He shouldn't be speaking. He needs to be fed. He needs to be grown up. He needs to go to, amen, class. He needs to be taught. But you don't put him out on the front line. And sure enough, you know, they pimped him. I'm sorry for saying it that way, but that's what they did. They pimped him. They knew he's popular. He'll draw a crowd. They pimped him. When they should have just said, just sit down, let's teach you. And when you're ready, God's called you to something besides music, then we'll launch you into that. But and you know what? He ended up getting destroyed by the devil. I mean, he backslid. And it was the church's fault. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Come on now. I'm trying to think, why is he even telling that story now? What scripture are we on? Maybe that'll refresh me. Okay.
Read.
The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. See, here's the thing about God's kingdom. There's laws and you got to learn it. All right, here's what I was saying. The one guy, the one musician, he said that he was leaving the church. He was backsliding. He was denouncing God because there's too many rules in Christianity. I thought, your problem is you don't realize those aren't rules. Those are guardrails. Those are there to keep you from crashing your life. Pastor, you've been on top of the Empire State Building.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any kind of railing up there?
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, that's bondage. That's just bondage. You can't go where you want to go. I mean, they didn't put that up there as bondage.
Right.
He never came back and said, I'm never going back to the Empire State Building because they've got guardrails up there. You know what those are there for, right? They keep you from killing yourself. See, God gave us, these aren't just legalistic rules. The Bible says His commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're there to keep you alive. See, Jesus said you can either let the Word of God break you. Amen? You can either fall on it and be broken, that's the way He said it, or it'll fall on you and crush you to powder. Nobody breaks God's word. It'll break them. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, just because if you disobey what He said, the only reason He said it was to help you. And if you disobey it, you got problems. I've told you my story many times, but it's my story, and I'm going to tell it again. Hallelujah. When I was 4 years old, I was laying over the bed, and I had 2 copper wires I'd found somewhere, something that Dad had, and I got them laying over the bed, and I'm close to the outlet, and I'm playing around that outlet with those wires, and Mom comes into the bedroom, it's her bedroom, I was laying on their bed, and she says, don't you dare stick those in that outlet. She left the room, I stuck them in. Mom was really legalistic. She really had me in bondage. But when I stuck them in that socket, I got free. But I want to tell you, it's a freedom I don't ever want to experience again. Amen. Amen. See, that's God's laws. They're there to protect you. Amen. Amen. And so, now notice it says that, verse 9 again, I'm getting ready to close. I want to look at one more scripture if you'll give it to me. He said, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. See, this kingdom, the love in this kingdom is so strong, it hates darkness. Because darkness will destroy. God doesn't hate people, He hates darkness. Darkness destroys people. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to close right here. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 3. How many got the rest of the week off? Why aren't you shouting? If you can't shout over my message, at least shout over that. Hallelujah. But I tell you, the word's better than having the rest of the week off. Amen. Now, are you in Ephesians? Get with me to verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. How many know we got to be rooted and grounded? You know, your root system's pretty important, right? And so you got to be rooted and grounded in love. Now, what does that mean? We're rooted in God's love. See, a lot of people, they're rooted in, this is where the devil gets them, is they try to get rooted in what they do. But that's not where you want your roots. Yes, you want to have good character. You want to have good morals. You want to have all that because it's part of the kingdom guidelines to keep you guardrails, to keep you from crashing yourself. But if you let your root system fail here, you're going to get in trouble. You need to be rooted and grounded in love. Hallelujah. See, our roots got to be in His love. Amen. Rooted and grounded in love. Amen. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. How many want to know? How many wants to have some comprehension of this kingdom? It comes by being rooted and grounded. And now, when it says rooted and grounded in love, it's talking about rooted and grounded in God's love. Right. Faith worketh by love. Right. And that's God's love, having faith in God's love. Yeah. We may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. What does that mean? It passes knowledge. It's too rich for your mind. God's love is so rich and so deep, your mind tilts. Your mind tilts. You can't fathom how good God is. He is love. And it'll tilt your mind. It's too rich for your mind. You got to get a revelation of it. John got a revelation of it. He says that, I like this. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, listen to this now, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, come on, somebody. All the fullness of God? All of it. See, when you get into this kingdom of love and you have faith in His love and you live your life by faith in that love and you're walking around like the Bible said, without an anxious mind because you're in a good kingdom, you knew everything's taken care of. Just like when you were a kid at home, unless you had a really messed up home, you were carefree. We were carefree. We ran and played all day long. We didn't think anything about, you know, we just ran free. I lived out in the country. It was great, man. I mean, when I got a little older, about 12 years old, I got motorcycles. So, man, I could go ride the motorcycle and, you know, back in the spoil banks, back in the pits and everything, all day long, just carefree. Carefree. Why? Because everything's provided for me. That's the way this kingdom is. Hallelujah. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm not telling you can go quit your job and just live carefree. Okay? I saw that look on your eyes like, I'm turning in my 2 weeks' notice. Our pastor, carefree, man, carefree. No, the Bible does say if you don't work, you don't. How many like to eat? I love what Ingolf said. The more you work, the more you ought to get to eat. Pastor Ingolf's funny. Yeah, he didn't even try to be. He just is. Yeah. Anyway, now, so help me understand the fullness of God. Now, doesn't that seem like that's just like, how could I be filled with the fullness of God? Well, God said you could be if you're rooted and grounded in love. Now, verse 20 says, now to him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. See, what's he saying? It may sound outlandish to be filled with all the fullness of God, but God is able to do it. He's able to do it. All you need to do is get grounded, rooted in his love. See, that the roots on a tree are everything. Nobody talks about that. Tree's got pretty roots, but if it didn't have the roots, the tree would not have pretty fruit. Yeah. Amen. Amen? You know, and so God's love is fertile soil for your faith. Yes. A pastor I met one time, he told this story. He said, I went to this, and I don't remember where he said he went to now. I can't remember, but he was on an island somewhere, and he said, I was preaching there. And he said, the host there, he said, won't you try some of our corn? All right. He said, I like corn. So he thought, we're going to get some corn and boil it, you know. And then we Miss Kay used to give me corn. And she cooked, I don't know what you did. She blanched it, cut it off the cob, blanched it, gave it to me. And she wrote on the packages that I don't know how many she'd give me of those. Sometimes maybe 20, 25, 30, I don't know. But she'd write on all those packages, pastor's corn. And I would tell people, that's pastor's corn. Pastor's corn. One of our grandsons, I want some of pastor's corn. And he would eat it, man. And so, but here's the thing. You know, I thought we're going to go get some corn off the cob. We're going to put it in water, boil it, then put some butter on it, and then put some more butter on it, and then put some more butter on it, and put some salt on it, and eat it. He said, but that guy got an ear of corn. He broke it in half. Gave one to me, half of it to me, and to my wife. He said, take a bite of that. He said, I took a bite of that. He said, that was the best corn I ever had in my life. He said, it was sweet. He said, just like it was, it didn't need cooked. It didn't need butter. It didn't need salt. He said, it was wonderful. And he said, I asked him, how in the world? The guy said, it's the soil. The soil produces this kind of results here in this island. That's the way God's love is. When you get rooted and grounded in it, I mean, it's fertile soil for your faith to go to work. Because you know God wants you to have it more than you want to have it. So here's one of the things that will help you with healing. Realize God wants you healed more than you want to be healed. You realize that He loves you that much. It's got to become a revelation to you, but when it does, it's awesome. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. 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 Paul had the revelation. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor any other thing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He had a revelation of God's love.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.